Are you ready for some football?
Welcome to another edition of the Knowledgeable Sillitude Half Hour on News Talk 1070. And now here's your host, the CEO, chief cook, bottle washer, and benevolent dictator of Ixman Mortgage, known affectionately to friends, creditors, and law enforcement as Brooksy Baby, none other than the one and only Bob Brooks.
Operating with half my brain tied behind.
Hey.
I think that's copyrighted. You're in trouble.
All
now.
I ask for is half an hour.
No.
But you weren't nasal
I am
enough.
My kid's parole agent. No. Help me out, guys. Here we need.
I think you're beyond help.
Operating with both hands, both feet, and one eye tied behind my back.
Really? You have no idea how much that cost me.
Yeah. How hard it was to get a rope around that eyeball. Ooh, those things are slippery.
We need a good tagline. We need psychotic sillitude. We're a mortgage show. We discuss all things financial and a lot of things cool, but we're silly too.
The semi-hour of crushing debt, perhaps?
No. This is a mortgage program.
Excavate yourself from crushing debt. That's it.
There you go. Gosh, dang it.
You were on the right track. You were just walking backwards.
Oh, yes. I was excavating.
Yeah, that's why my shovels all have Ixman.
Oh, that's right.
Look, even though the intro of the program said another edition, this is, in fact, the first edition, and so I think it is incumbent upon the host to introduce the co-host.
Groundbreaking it is.
Well, standing in front of me is 5'4" of muscle and sinew, and that would be Big Dog Dave, who operates the mics, operates the phones.
Would that be his left or right leg?
I'm 5'4" from the knees up, pal. Don't you forget it.
And he is on his knees a lot. So. To my left, and believe me, that's the only time you're going to find him on the left, is unfair, unbalanced, and unmedicated Robbie Wood.
Thank you very much.
A little bit further, a little closer to the center, is the Tax Goddess. Say hello, Tax Goddess.
Hello.
Well, Tax Goddess knows a lot about tax and finance, and she is sort of the intelligence in this room.
Mm-hmm. Sort of?
There seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Buzz Lightyear.
That was
wrong
Sam
about
Donaldson
it.
Speaking from beneath his toupee.
Later on the show, we're going to have Chef Bart Black, or as we like to call him, Black Bart.
Black Bart of the kitchen.
Blar. Right. Who's the head chef over at Redstone Country Club. And the guy knows a whole lot about food. He knows a whole lot about cooking. Also, we're going to be discussing building and construction with Terry Collins, who's the president of Dynamic Builders. Boy, does he know a lot about construction. And he may give you some pointers on whatever construction project you may be doing or whether or not you want to buy a house from an inventory or just build one yourself.
It'll be nice to have Dynamic Builders on the program. We made a couple of calls to Static Builders, but they never returned our phone calls.
But there was this weird sound every time.
This whole thing was a mistake.
So far, I have to agree. But then it's only the first show.
Yeah, they were going nowhere fast.
Well, we can ask Chef Bart what foods seared into his memory.
Seared and then finished in a 325 oven for 30 minutes.
We like to talk about Roger Clemens, and it looks like he's pitching on some, junior league team? What's going on with that?
It's an A-ball team, you fool.
It's called Coming Up Through the Minors.
Yes,
what?
Yes.
Roger
rehab.
Yes, because, okay.
He's come full circle. It's the circle of life.
No, it's because, yes, now he's going to be eaten by a lion as he goes up to pitch. No, you've got to get, you have to work your way up to it. So what he's going to do is he's going to start to get ready to game speed. In other words, he's going to get pitching against some guys that may not be as good as major leaguers. So he's going to get used to pitch.
Blindfolded.
Okay, so he's up there. The second guy he faces on the in the game last night cranks home run. Kid's 19 years old.
And holy that's cats. A memory for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody said last night, I think the kid made it around the bases in 4.3 seconds.
Yes. Well, it was in the new BMW that someone just gave him.
When I was about 25, I was in a
How
media.
How long ago was that?
Okay, the third power.
Carry the three.
He's removing a shoe, folks. Oh!
Base 16.
And I still have the socks on that I wore that day. I got to go in this media contingent that got to go take swings against Bob Feller, the original 100-mile-an-hour fastballer.
There you
and
go.
I hit a home run off of him, but he was 75 years old at the time.
And the first four pitches never made it over the plate.
Actually, you wouldn't believe how that old codger could wing that ball in. That's most of the reason it left the park was because it hit my bat so hard it couldn't help itself. Little old gray-haired guy scared me to death up there. And the catcher was terrified, too. He was another media guy. He was asking if there were not two or three more masks he could wear.
You said, shut up, Stephanopoulos.
Yeah. So that's where Rocket Roger Clemens is coming up through the minors, pitching to the 19-year-olds, making memories. And I still predict he'll have a three groin pulls. And I know there's only one groin, but he'll pull it three times before midseason. And,
three separate places.
I was going to say, was he going to assist someone else?
Hey, if you pull hard enough.
You want a job?
Huh? Yeah, really.
Pull this groin.
No, he was going to pitch for the Triple K Club. He may never come back. How's
now,
that?
They're over in Mississippi. Right?
He'll be back here soon enough. People will be cheering Rocket Roger on the mound down at Minute Maid, and I still predict it's going to end badly.
Mm.
Only guessing. I'm only a couple years older than Roger, and I've pulled more muscles than I have. So
maybe. He can
what about your groin muscles?
Do we have to talk about that now?
On the phone with us now is Terry Collins, who's the president of Dynamic Builders. Terry builds multi-million-dollar homes, and he's built a bunch of them. However, the secrets that he knows and can share with you, which I guess makes them secrets no longer in a way, since there's about 2 million people out here, the secrets he can share with you would apply whether you're building a $60,000 home or a $60 million home. So, Terry, talk to us. Why build a house rather than shop through a builder's inventory now?
Well, I think initially it has to do with preference. If you plan on living in your home for a longer amount of time, you're going to definitely want to go with a custom rather than a production. On your production homes, they're built fast and affordable. For the most part, you'll be wanting to move out of a production home after a few years. The thickness of materials used on the home, say for instance, you'll have an 1/8-inch thick hardy plank on your soffit versus a normal custom home, you'll have 3/4-inch. So depending on how long you want to live in the home, you would want to build a home production versus custom. That would be a good starting place.
So is that like one of those floor plans that I saw at one of your competitors? It was the Amityville 666. You didn't move out. The house asked you to move out.
People tend to want out to move out after the first night.
But an ask or a command, I guess.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
These pre-planned homes, the inventory homes, you said they were affordable. That means no one can afford your homes, right?
No, not at all. It depends on how long you want to live in the home. You want to live in your home for a significant amount of time, you definitely want to go with a custom home so you can get your money out of it in the long run.
Are we in a bubble right now? Are you guys slowing down?
No, that's funny you mentioned that. I'm on the board of directors for the National Association of Home Builders, and we just spent a week in Washington going over building material reports, marketing analysis, and you'll be happy to know that in Houston, we are still the most affordable place to live, place to build a home, property value in the United States.
I'm happy. Are you guys happy?
Absolutely.
Everyone's. I can't think of anything more
exciting. Great news. But what about square foot price? Now, my wife and I bought a house a couple of years ago when we got back from Europe, and we kind of look around from time to time. We're hobbyists. We go see into other people's homes on Sunday afternoons, like when other people play golf or watch
Isn't
football.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you do that too? I knock sometimes.
But we sort of know what the square foot prices are, and how are they comparing with custom built?
Customs run around $100 to $500 a foot. Production should run you around $100 a foot and less.
Well, that's excellent. Good to know. What about material costs? I know steel has doubled in the past 5 years or so.
Just in the last month, copper has gone up. Let's say a roll of 12-2 Romax copper wiring for a home. For $125 or for 125-foot roll, last month you were looking at about $68 a roll. Now it's at $102 a roll, expected to go up to $130 a roll. And it's not that we are running out of the material. It is the other countries like China and Russia that are wanting the American amenities, nicer homes, more luxuries, and they're willing to pay a little bit more than we are.
It's so a communist plot.
Please do give me amenities.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, the party needs them.
Now, Terry. Generally speaking, Terry, to do a construction loan, you know, this is a mortgage company or a mortgage show. To do a construction loan.
One would think.
What? You quit thinking. Quit thinking right this minute.
Anyone listening knows that's not occurring here.
Yeah. No. Generally speaking, you can get 100% loan on a brand new construction home if the builder builds a house for you pursuant to a construction contract that you sign with him. And Terry, I know you've got the ability to do that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know a lot about the mortgage side, and this is why. X-Main Mortgage takes care of all my stuff, and I send my client to them. They'll get any type of financing they might need, up to 107% financing.
What can I say, Terry, other than I agree with you?
And the check is in the mail.
Terry just unwittingly sang the next X-Man theme song. Don't know much about mortgages.
There you go.
Oh, goodness.
Well, Terry, you've been bloody well nice today, and we really appreciate it. Anything you want to sum us up with here in the construction business?
Guys, just to let you know, look, I'm involved as much as I can be to try to be in the know about everything across the board. You know, I'm president of the Bay Area Builders Association. I'm on the board of directors for the Greater Houston Builders Association, along with Texas Association of Builders and the NAHB. You know, you mentioned the bubble in the beginning. There's been three significant times in the last 7 years where the media has come up and said the bubble is about to burst. And we've sent directors from the National Association of Home Builders to the New York Times press conferences to answer any questions they might have to squash this rumor that could be detrimental at times. And we've
by force,
been
if
successful,
necessary.
Right, we've been successful every single time. And in this last recent time, during when we were in Washington for the Board of Directors meeting, it started up again. You know, the market's slowing. It's at the end of its reign. And we are at 100% of building capacity right now in the U.S. So if it does slow down some, it's still okay. From 100% to 90%, we're still, you know, very good.
You had one of your representatives up there when the premier of China came in and spoke in Washington, right?
Absolutely. Also, just to let you know, anytime you hear in the media, because they were touting that another, you know, slow is going to happen and what's going to happen, when we got back from Washington, Fox News report said new home sales was up 4.7%, and nobody knew why. They didn't understand it.
Because more homes were sold, perhaps?
Can you go over that again more slowly? More homes were sold.
Yes.
There was a collective scratching of empty heads out there in TV news media land.
Well, Terry, when the media says sell, I buy, and when they say buy, I sell. And I think that's a good, fair indicator to go with.
Absolutely. Now, when you hear reports, they'll give across the U.S. There are some slows in certain price ranges in the U.S., but still, for Houston, we have a solid 5 years of very, very strong growth in building. Used home sales have slowed some, but that's because, you know, there's less and less of used home sales to buy.
Terrible.
So, I mean, guys, feel good about our industry, feel good about what we're doing. We're passing legislation all the time to protect home buyers. As a builder, we worked hard to get builders registered to where builders can't be a bad builder, mess up on a house, and change their name. So make sure your builders are registered
and have had their shots
when you build. And
they have to be fixed?
We're working hard to protect home buyers.
Just the houses.
Excellent. Terry, let's have that website, Terry.
Dynamicbuilders.net.
How about that phone number, sir?
713-702-3413. Call me anytime.
You got it. You do have pictures on your website of some of the houses you've created, don't you?
Absolutely.
Excellent. They are things of beauty. It's worth a look, folks.
Hey, guys, thanks for your time, and I enjoyed it. Call me anytime. I'd love to visit with you.
We'll call you anytime we run out of guests.
Which should be in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, really.
As opposed to running out of listeners, which was about 5 minutes. Thank you, Terry.
Good luck.
What can I say? Fabulous.
Fabulous indeed. And you got to respect a guy in the home building business who takes so much of his personal time and puts out so much effort to be a leader in the industry, and I think his work in that area probably reflects a bit of the quality of the work that he puts into his homes as well. Terry Collins of Dynamic Builders with good news about our market, and again, it's online with lots of lovely pictures at dynamicbuilders.net. World-class custom homes. You decide, they construct. Radio Free X-Man, we'll be right back.
Well, you guys, hear anything good on the radio lately?
Quid pro quo, Clarice. I tell you things, you tell me things.
I'm just looking for a mortgage, Dr. Lecter.
Oh, well, when rates go up, can you still hear the screaming?
Well, yeah, my next door neighbor has an arm.
Have the rates gone up recently?
Well, he is up to 8.75%.
If your arm is making you scream, call Ixman Mortgage for a refi. Save lots of money and stop the screaming. 100% financing of homes, no proof of income, and we answer our darn phones.
I-X-M-A-N.
Just Google it.
And now, because this is a radio show about mortgages, let's talk to the head chef at a ritzy country club. Hey, Bart.
How you doing?
Bart Black, this is radio station 1070 calling you from Texas, and I understand you're in Alaska right now, right?
Well, pretty close. I'm actually in the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Well,
oh, goodness gracious.
I had to go to Detroit first, then I flew over from Detroit.
We're
Detroit.
Really sorry to hear about that.
Your penalty is to be sentenced to Detroit.
God.
Yeah, you know, I think they're still upset from the Pistons-Dallas game or something.
On the phone with us now is Chef Bart Black of the Redstone Country Club. We put him on for no other reason because he just knows a whole lot about food. He's fascinating to talk to. He knows a whole lot about cooking and wine, and who doesn't want to know a whole lot about that?
Absolutely. And we really like to eat.
It's all based on experience.
My first question for you today, Bart, is why don't you have your own television show on the Food Network?
I think that's more of a political thing, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, no, buddy.
So simmer in that one, Chef.
That's why I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, dear, dear.
We're not
okay.
going to get some black-suited gentleman knocking at the door in the next few minutes, are we?
Yeah. Bam!
Yeah, really.
The Emerald Terrorist.
I thought this was a no-knock raid. Yeah, okay.
So what are you cooking a typical night? Call it a Friday or Saturday night. What do you cook?
We, of course, have a lot of members out at Redstone. So I like to, you know, it all depends on what's fresh and what's good and what's seasonal. That's what I like to cook. Anything that's fresh, like some nice fresh fish, depending on what my seafood purveyors might have. And then I try to match it with basically just the vegetables or produce of the season. It's going to go really good with that.
Mm. Is it true that you guys buy steaks that we can't buy at the grocery store? Is this beef elitism going on here?
No, what it is that, okay, say I go to the store to the butcher shop and buy some meat. They have it for $12.99 a pound for tenderloin. Make sure they trim it for you. Make sure they take all that sinew and extra fat and stuff like that, because you're going to pay for that, you know, and it kind of increases the profit level for grocery stores.
Wait. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
$12.99 a pound trim. Did he say trim the fat?
Trim the fat.
This is a recipe, isn't it?
He sounds like my wife talking to me.
Continue.
Well, I get
the
my steaks.
Lesson.
They're clean. They're perfect. Okay.
Oh, beautiful.
Because I'm not going to accept anything below that.
How difficult is it to find fresh fish? I mean, you're talking about fish purveyors and that kind of thing, but I mean, how tough is it even with those guys?
It's really not, because you kind of have to train your vendors, your purveyors.
Ah, okay.
Because they know that I'm not going to accept it if it's not good. You know, even, you know, we're by the Gulf of Mexico, but some of the best red snapper goes to Chicago, New York. And I make sure that my guys know that, and they're going to send it to me first before they send it up here where I am right now.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But our fish really is fresh. I can get day boat lobsters. Scallops that are picked by hand off the bottom of the ocean.
Mm.
Fish, you know, so fresh you're going to slap it.
Right.
Well, I found that amazing. It's like I go into restaurants now, and you can really tell the difference from year to year almost, that, you know, the more you get to the present here, that the neater fishes you can find. I mean, suddenly you got Chilean black sea bass. Hey, this was just twitching its way through the Pacific just yesterday, and now it's here on my plate. This is great.
Right. And, you know, there's also even when I worked at the Houstonian Hotel, let's say, for example, okay? Mm-hmm. We would have our own fishermen that would go out there and catch the fish for us and ship it directly to us, you know, overnight.
Mm,
okay, so if you make those kind of connections, our fishermen know what we want to sell our guests.
Mm.
So we know it's fresh. It comes in the house. We pack it on ice, you know, and basically take the fish out of the ice, cut what we need just for that day, and then put it back on the ice again, or maybe for that lunch service, and then cut more for the dinner service.
Are you familiar with Gordon Ramsay, and is he a role model?
Oh, yeah, he is. No, he's not. I think that that's really funny to ask that. My philosophy in the kitchen is to treat my employees with dignity and respect.
Well, you wouldn't make it on the Food Network.
No, I probably... Well, I could be the dignity and respect chef.
Run that at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning.
It's teaching the guys. It's coaching the guys. If they make a mistake, I'm not going to put a lot of paper in their life or anything like that. I'm going to show them the right way to do it, or the way that I believe it should be done.
How much of a learning experience is it for you and for them?
I think it's great. It teaches me how to interact with people. And I think by setting the example... Kitchens have changed. There's that many Hell's Kitchens out there anymore, I don't think. When I was coming up, let's say back in the 70s, early 80s, there were a lot of them. Mm. You know, there were a lot of Hell's Kitchens.
So that show is, like, based on reality?
Somewhat. Yeah, I've worked for some pretty
Yep. Hey, if it's too hot, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still reeling from reality show based on reality. So.
Right. Oh, that's too realistic.
I really enjoyed it because you could tell, you could see the intensity on the people that were participating in that show. You could see the intensity in their face and their desire to do well on that show. And, you know, where else do you see something like that besides the culinary industry?
Apparently not in your kitchen.
Right. Well, they still have that desire. They do. Yeah. They have that desire. I make them read. I make them study. You know, hey, maybe I'll make him write a book report for me or something. That's kind of lightweight, though, huh?
Chef Bart, I've been partaking of a delicious dish that you make, and I've been eating it every week, and it's called the sesame. No, not that one.
No.
Although that one's good too. It's called the Southwestern Caesar salad that you guys make. You said there was an interesting story behind that, and I hope I'm still going to be able to eat the salad after you tell me that interesting story. And
no,
I've also taken the liberty of putting that recipe on our website.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And I have attributed to you, Chef Bart Black, or as we like to call you, Black Bart.
Perfect. Well, let me tell you
Isn't
about
that
the
kind
salad.
Of cowboy pirate thing going on?
Yeah, do you have to wax that mustache to keep the hairs from falling in the food?
Poor man's going to hang up on us.
I'm a little bald, too, don't forget. Let me tell you, the Southwest Caesar, when I worked at the Houston, I started working there in 1994. I'd say we were about 2 years in, and we were doing some Southwest cuisine. We had a British chef that worked for us at that time too, and I attribute this recipe to Jim Mills as well. This is Jim's creation. He's the executive chef to Houstonian. We asked this chef that we had from Great Britain to make this spicy Caesar dressing and add cumin and coriander and lime juice and ancho paste, the dried chili, you know, and make a paste, and that would be the spice in the dressing.
Oh, it's got just a bit of an attitude,
right? But absolutely. Adam couldn't find the ancho paste. So he grabbed his Thai chili paste and dumped that in there instead of the ancho paste. Okay? But it's a totally different color. Like, the anchos are kind of orangey red, and the Thai chili paste is bright red. So as soon as we saw the dressing, we knew it was an ancho. But we tasted it, and it was awesome. Okay?
So that's I'm here to tell you, folks, that's one of the best salad dressings you're ever going to taste.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, people always hear about chefs that make mistakes, and the mistake turned out to be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I made this dish by accident. But everybody loved it, and now we can't get rid of it.
One bite kind of makes you go.
That's exactly what it does. You know, and it's one of those salads, too, where you really don't crave it. It's one of those salads where you have to have it.
It's a necessity.
It is. There's a fix quotient going on here.
Absolutely.
Your hands start shaking.
I'm looking at a room full of capsaicin addicts.
Yeah. The pepper people.
Hey, don't be speaking any Klingon to me.
One more question before we let you get back to your hot stovetop, Bart. Have any environmentalists ever broken into your kitchen and released the lobsters?
No, they haven't. You know, but actually,
but now they're going to.
Somebody tried to sell me a cloned sheep one time, though. But I absolutely refused to cook it.
Oh, but you could keep serving it over and over and over.
Exactly. They all look the same to me, you know.
Yeah, really, Dolly. Dolly,
hello,
is that you?
Dolly.
Whoa, Dolly.
Black Bart, back to the kitchen. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks
today.
A lot.
All right, take care, guys.
Good luck.
And that was Chef Bart Black of the Redstone Country Club up in Humble.
Nice wig if you can get it.
The anti-Gordon Ramsay of the clearly not Hell's Kitchens at Redstone Country Club, Le Grand Fromage, the Big Cheese. Hey, I got to ask you. I asked you and you answered me and I forgot, so I'm going to ask you again. How did you come to the name X-Man Mortgage?
Well, you know, maybe we ought to let the tax goddess answer that. I'll set it up, though. It's named after the first author of Aztec history.
Essentially, Mesoamerican.
Mezzo-soprano history.
Yeah, Mesoamerican history. We have...
The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's named after the dog is what it is, okay?
But, well, see, we named the dog after the... What's his name?
Ixtlilxochitl.
Say that again?
Ixtlilxochitl.
Oh, it sounds so Hispanic when she says that.
Can you sing the national anthem in Aztec?
Yeah,
no.
That's how this knife
it's
hurts in my heart.
I can't sing at all.
Really. And for those of you who are a Trivial Pursuit bent, that word is Nahuatl, correct?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Don't waddle. I've worked on that. I've got prosthetics.
Yes.
Or was that a command you were saying?
No,
waddle.
It's merely the weight around your middle that causes you to.
I wobble, but I don't fall down.
Just call me Mr. Weeble.
In the unlikely event that you can finish this story now, please do.
We had a 106-pound German Shepherd who had one ear that stood straight up and one ear that went straight down, so he was reading about 5 o'clock. And his name was Ixtlilxochitl because the breeder wanted a name that started with the letter I, and we couldn't come up with anything else. So that was his name, but we called him Ixy. And that kind of just developed to Ixman. And he was this wonderful dog when our oldest daughter was a little baby. She'd come running across the house. He'd be sleeping by the door, launch herself in the air, land on him. You'd hear all the air come out of his lungs. Whoosh! Wouldn't even open his eyes.
See what taxidermy can do?
She would lie on him while she's drinking her bottle, like use him as a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And she would climb all over him. And he was so good to her, and we loved him so much that somehow we named the company after him.
After a dog who was indirectly named after an Aztec.
It's when the dog started performing those funky rituals in some kind of temple. Yeah. We had to get a new dog then.
We had to call
animal control.
A lot of animal control. Yeah,
it took half of them. Right. Hey, but we had good weather for the planting.
Yeah. And in spite of the best efforts of management and advice of broadcasting consultants, this program will be back next week at the same time.
Same bat time. Same bat channel.
Be there, aloha.
Portions of this program were pre-recorded. The rest was taped earlier.